Hello and welcome to this special episode of Inside Jonas. My name is Thilo Hertel. We have something to celebrate. 20 years ago, at the end of September 2005, we added the first high-performance AMD 64-bit processor and 64-bit operating system to our server program as I researched. A lot has happened since then, but our collaboration with AMD still continues. The US company is known for processors, graphic cards and chipsets that are powerful, future-oriented and efficient, especially in the business environment. Today, we would like to take the opportunity to discuss our current collaboration with AMD. For that, I would like to welcome our guest, Alexander Troshin, who is Product Marketing and Business Development Manager at AMD and responsible for the EPIC series. Hello, Alexander.
Hello, Thilo, and thanks for having me.
Can you explain in three sentences what the EPIC series is, and do you also use it for your own projects?
Oh yeah, for sure. I would be excited to do that. So as a quick summary on what the EPIC server CPUs are, it's the server CPU. So it's our flagship product when it comes to the data center market, and specifically as a central processing unit, simple as that. And in the EPIC series, we focus on three key pillars behind the overall Zen architecture, which we have cross-leveraged across both the consumer and data center products. And it's very simple. It's giving our customers and partners the best scalability, performance, and energy efficiency. So that's a quick summary. And in terms of what we are using, or I'm using as well, look, not just a marketeer, I'm a tech enthusiast and also a gaming enthusiast. So I'm quite familiar with the hands-on experience of using AMD products. So I have at home an AMD Ryzen system, so powered by the AMD CPUs and also AMD GPUs, so Radeon card. And so far, I have not had any problems and enjoying a very high-quality experience in gaming. Why I'm bringing it up? So this technology specifically, Ryzen, is very similar to the AMD EPIC series because it's built up on the similar architecture. And I think that's going to be a very hands-on reference as to what you can do both at home and in the data center.
And apart from the gaming, for whom and for which use cases was the EPIC series developed?
So the EPIC series overall is for everything. Right, so it's the data center CPU, but the EPIC 4000 series was purposely built for initially two customer segments, which is usually hosters and SMBs. With that, it's a very cost-effective, reliable, and easy to deploy solution for the entry space. But the entry space is kind of a more of a customer segment, right? So a market vertical, you know, where you go and balance the power, scalability, and affordability at the same time. And with that, we focused the product on specific workloads such as e-commerce, video analytics, code development, and many more. It's basically a very, very powerful entry server CPU, which can be used across multiple modern workloads, such as the ones mentioned, but also expanding into the AI virtualization databases and other technologies. It's more of a form factor topic, I think, versus the workload one.
And can you name some typical deployment scenarios?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it's all around everyday business applications. So from the traditional web servers, databases, CRM systems, email servers, and so on. And we have seen customers also deploying EPIC 4000 series in the retail space. So for example, with proof of sale touchpoints. So the traditional, I would say, sales experience in the stores and also other edge cases, because this is a very good for start platform, which doesn't consume as much power as some of the other product lines and series we have more targeted towards the big data center deployments. So it's good for those cases, right? So edge, retail, SMB, and the workloads range again from everything standard, web servers, email servers, databases, and so on, to something special like code development or video analytics, rendering, everything.
The EPIC 4005 is based on the Zen 5 architecture. What does this mean and what advantages does it offer over previous generations?
So EPIC 4005 series is indeed based on the Zen 5 architecture. And as usual, it's a next generation performance uplift. So traditionally, it's the higher IPC or instructions per cycle, which means you can do more work with every clock take of the CPU or the cycle. So with that being said, what we've done specifically in the 4005 series is less about the scalability, because scalability remained the same, and less about just raw speed It's more about the balance. So what we were able to achieve with 4005 series in our offering is, on average, better performance across the stack, right? So that's expected, but also better performance per watt or energy efficiency. In fact, from a very simple example of what you can do, you can now run an entry server CPU with 16 cores on 65 watts. This is what we didn't have in 4004 series. So this range of power was limited to 12 cores. So we were able to push it even more and afford putting four more cores within the same power envelope. Other than that, we've also improved dramatically the architecture itself. So like there are usually a couple of things you can do between the generations and how you can push the CPU performance further. Either you draw more power to it or you increase the, let's say, the scalability of the CPUs or the clock counts. And again, it can be done both from the power perspective and the architecture, or you also improve the microarchitecture itself. So how, you know, optimized the CPUs are when it comes to any type of tasks. So this is what we've done with Zen 5 overall in 4005 series and obviously in 9005 series as well. So our Turin codename Turin CPUs. We've also introduced the AVX 512 instructions. We're using the full data path. So that has allowed us to actually perform much better on different HPC and AI and data analytics workloads, especially if you use AVX 512 instruction set. On top of that, in the 4005 series, we've also increased the speed supported on the memory. So it went from 5,200 megatransfers per second to 5,600. So that also includes the server-grade ECC memory. So it's a pretty, I would say, holistically well-rounded product and just even more value to our partners and customers.
You already mentioned the energy efficiency of this new series. How does this manifest itself concretely?
So in fact, I already did an example. Let's delve into that. So in the 4000 series specifically, right? So let's stop here and then I'll also expand it more into other products as well. When you have an edge deployment, so this is usually where you don't have a lot of space or you don't have a lot of power available. So every watt counts, but you also don't want to compromise on performance. So in the 4004 generation, we had a lower, let's say, power consuming CPUs, and the top one was a 12 cores. So pretty good for the entry space. But in this generation, in 4005, as I mentioned already answering the previous question, we've been able to put even more cores within the same power envelope. So at 65 watts, now you have 16 cores. Why is it important? Where you can get, you know, benefit from it? The usual example, I would say, is in the SMB and some type of the edge deployments, which are using Microsoft Windows Server software. So with that, it's just all around licensing, right? So if you have licensing, which is capped at 16 cores, you don't want to pay the full license, but underutilize it. So we are able to provide the 16 core count, but not just on the high power envelope, but also at 65 watts. So that's kind of a best of both worlds. In fact, you still get an outstanding performance. So this all helps you to, again, optimize, for example, some of the software licensing bills, lower electricity bills, reduce cooling requirements as well, and just navigate a bit better depending on the use case or the mode or some place of deployment. Again, thinking through the edge cases. Why it matters in the data center and what it brings is another tangible metric, which we can't get rid of, which is a performance per watt. You know, how much you can get from your system based on the same energy requirement or the same energy envelope you use. And so every generation of products, we strive to deliver the best value to our customers. And we have improved dramatically the performance per watt aspect, not just putting more cores at the same power, which does give you better performance per watt, but also pushing further the microarchitecture and the overall execution loop within the CPUs to deliver, again, more performance within the cycle, so higher IPC, and not blowing up the energy, right? So the TDPs of the CPUs. In fact, it's a combination of different things, right? So the CPU is one of them, but also it's the combination of other initiatives or other, you know, creative thinking patterns and ideas, which we have seen from our partners and customers. you know, how to leverage this energy efficiency, what you can do. In fact, you guys at IONOS have implemented an blade server architecture in your data center, which pairs beautifully with AMD's efficient CPUs. So first you have the multiple server blade chassis, right? So plus an intelligent power control system, you can nest more of those CPUs within the limited space, but also you can control and dynamically throttle the power to avoid, for example, wasting simply energy or, you know, running the CPUs while it's not necessarily needed. So from what I heard, this resulted pretty much high or significant energy savings, so around up to 15% compared to conventional setups. And this is exciting, but it's always a combination, right? So the platform, the software around it, the tools for optimizing the even the usage or like idle slash very high level load power and how you balance it up. Our goal, obviously, from AMD is to provide you with the best. So give you as much as possible within this power envelope usage. And then you built up on it, and that creates a beautiful solution.
How does the security concept of AMD look like, and what are some of the epic security features you can name?
First of all, we have a multi-layered security approach at AMD. So we call this approach and the stack as Infinity Guards. So we have many different features across the product stack when it comes to security. It starts with, you can say, some simple things such as secure boot, which is simple but extremely important. So this is the hardware root of trust, right? So how to boot up the system and avoid the firmware threats. So we do this across the overall stack. So 4000 series, 8000 series, 9000 series, and so on. We also offer as a just the BIOS stick setting. So it's very, very straightforward and easy. A feature so-called TSME, or transparent secure memory encryption, that does exactly what it sounds like. It encrypts the memory, it encrypts the RAM. And then we also provide such features as Shadow Stack. This is within the 4000 series, which offers a hardware-enforced stack protection, mitigating malware attacks like return-oriented programming. It maintains return addresses for integrity checks and supports also the Microsoft hardware-enforced stack protection. On top of that, in the 9000 series, which is a product which is oriented to the large installations, to the data center, as a whole, we offer features such as SAV, which is secure encrypted virtualization, and different sub features within it. And there we focus a lot on pretty much the concept of confidential computing. So how do you encrypt the VMs from one another, from the hypervisor itself? How do you provide all of the features you would do as a host of a service provider, like we do things together with you at IONOS? How do you provide those features to the customers, and how do you provide this as confidential computing, confidential cloud? So this is powered, for example, by such features as SAV and also additional features like secure nested paging within it and more. So it's a holistic approach as to guarding hardware layers, but also the virtualization and hypervisor layers, all from the CPU, all from the hardware, which adds this extra layer of protection considering it's silicon level, right? So it's very hard to tweak in and to change something physically within the CPUs. So this is what we're focusing on, right? So to provide this holistic solution with many features supporting our customer demands, right? So how do you encrypt all of the workloads you have? How do you provide it as a feature? How do you make sure? How do you get all of this as well on everyday basis?
You already gave a glance at some points. Let's talk about the partnership with IONOS. What does the collaboration between AMD and IONOS as a hosting service provider look like? And do you see some significance in the strategic partnership from your perspective?
I would answer the second part of the question first. Yes, it's significant. IONOS and its predecessor 1&1 were among the early adopters of the AMD server processor technology, so back in the Opteron days. And you know, we have over 20 years of this beautiful and very strong direct partnership, and we've grown together from those first 64-bit instruction set days to today's highly scalable EPYC machines. You know, in 9000 series, we scale from 8 to 192 cores. That's what I mean by highly scaling. And this history builds a lot of mutual trust, obviously between ourselves, but also between us and the end users and the customers. So IONOS team, IONOS as a whole, knows AMD will deliver on roadmap promises. And we know and we can trust that IONOS can expertly deploy our technology to serve the customers at scale. So we can provide jointly this strong, both technologically as well as simply from like the B2B market perspective, trustworthy solution together. And the partnership is very collaborative. So it's all about the collaboration. We work very closely on the product rollouts, right? So making sure that IONOS team knows the roadmap, what is coming, what can we do together. And the technical team knows all of the key, obviously, specifications, technical details, but also best practices as to how to build the product and the platform at launch. Why I mentioned this? It's because, as an example, with Epic 4005, IONOS was one of the first hosting providers globally to deploy the new CPUs in the lineup. This had been so far extended, so you already offer the 4005 series in Germany, UK, Spain, US, and so forth, but that doesn't happen by accident. So it involves early sharing of technical info, sampling, tuning, and making sure from both sides that the platform is rock solid for your needs and your customer needs, obviously. So we have a deep collaboration between the engineering team, between product marketing teams and more. And we're just extremely excited about the steadily, I would say, steady expansion of the server portfolio at IONOS using AMD EPYC technology. So we've grown tremendously over the years, offering everything from bare metal hosting with entry space, like we've covered a lot on EPYC 4000 today, but also towards the highly scalable EPYC series on 9000 side, right? So namely Genoa and Turin now with 9005 series. So in fact, I've also been quoted last year celebrating the first EPYC 4000 for launch with IONOS, because it meant that your customers and our customers can get this enterprise-grade performance, dependability, scalability, and modern security features powered by this efficient architecture, right? So I mentioned the different technologies, obviously, on our side, but also on yours, you know, the platform deployment and development. So I think it's one of the most beautiful things in the industry is not just, you know, launching a product, but doing it together, having very strong interactions and trust and collaboration between the teams. And I think it all comes down to the shared vision of the future growth and making sure we have not just a customer and supplier relationship, but a strategic ally relationship, which brings more mutual success and growth into the market and between ourselves. So I'm excited about what you can offer to the market. And I'm sure that our customers are excited about your offering based also on our CPU technology. So it's a very strong, long-standing collaboration and partnership across the years. And I'm just excited to see what the next 20 years are all about. You know, we're celebrating 20 years now. Let's see what it's going to look like in 20 years from now.
In which direction do you think the AMD servers are heading to? Are there trends, innovative topics that will dominate the development of servers in the future? Maybe you can give us a little outlook.
It's finding, I think, the right combination between energy efficiency, performance, scalability, and all the elements on the chip and chipset, finding the fine balance which fits to the customer needs. Obviously, AI and accelerated computing is one major trend, so it does guide our roadmap. The explosion of AI and machine learning workloads in the industry is close to none what we've observed in the past. So we foresee, obviously, servers increasingly handling AI tasks, and not just in the big data centers, but everywhere, right? So from the edge to cloud. And we continue to evolve the products, obviously, with this in mind. We've already previewed the next generation of our EPYC processors and a couple of events publicly. So our CEO, Lisa Su, has talked about it as well, even pushing further the envelope of performance and scalability with Venice, so-called the next generation of processors we have. But we have also already previewed our rack infrastructure, so which is the Helios reference systems. In a nutshell, we keep pushing the data center topics and data center products from the ground up perspective, simply being, you know, how do you provide the best CPU technology? How do you provide the best GPU technology? What the best is? Is it the sheer performance? Is it the energy efficiency? Is it the scalability? Is it the mix of both? So we're focusing on finding out the right answer. At the same time, with the initiatives we support on the market and leading, obviously, some of those like UEC and UELink, we also focus more on seamless integration between the technologies. So seamless integration between the CPUs, GPUs, accelerators, and how to communicate altogether, and also how to scale the systems in the future as well. So that comes with the heterogeneous kind of a system, an open ecosystem based on different technologies in the industry, like, again, Ultra Ethernet Consortium or UE-Link and OCP designs. So again, there's so much to say. We are in such an exciting and very fast-paced moment in the industry. And I strongly believe about two things. First is that we as AMDs are in unique position here in this right moment. After all of the recent acquisitions we had and all of the news initiatives supported across the world. But secondly, I'm a strong believer of our joint partnership and outlook for the future together with IONOS on providing the perfect solutions for our customers and partners, right? So sometimes we might not even know or see, obviously, customers you have. So we rely on you to deliver the solutions, but it doesn't work in like a one-sided world, right? So it works only as a full collaboration. It's simply scaling it further, expanding our portfolio, and making sure we have many happy users using the joint technology and simply addressing their needs and achieving what they want to do with their hardware. So might be delving a bit into different topics as well, but I hope it gives you a quick kind of rundown summary as to what we see in the industry and what we're focusing on as AMD, but also just personally what we're excited about here in Europe. And that's all about partnerships.
Thank you for the interview.
Well, thank you for having me, Tilo, on the Inside IONOS podcast. It's been a total pleasure and extremely excited about the 20-year partnership, extremely excited about the next 20 years. We are extremely proud to partner with IONOS and to empower businesses of all sizes. And we covered a lot: performance, efficiency, security, the workloads, use cases, and it just shows how much modern servers can do, right? So again, excited for what's next, and thank you very much, Tilo, for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to Inside IONOS directly at inside.ionos.de or via all popular streaming platforms. Feel free to send us your ratings, suggestions, and comments either directly below this episode or by email to podcast@ionos.com. Thank you for listening. Bye, and see you next time.